Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Good morning again. Well, thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for being here. This is week three of our new series. So I don't know if I can call it a new series anymore, right? But it's week three of our series. We're talking about emotions and some of the things that are not easy to talk about, right? And I think today we're talking about one that I have struggled to define, and Jess and I have had many arguments about what it means and how to do things properly or not. Today we're talking about anger and what that anger does to us. And the title for the sermon today, I titled it, What's Under the Surface? So what's under the surface? Thank you, Josue, for reading the scripture this morning. We're looking at Ephesians. And if you have access to a Bible or if you follow a Bible on your phone, please do so as we go along. But let me start with asking you something right off the bat. Have you ever overreacted to something? Yeah, lots of laughter, lots of yes, for sure, right? Have you overreacted and then thought, that was not just about that thing that was happening in that moment, at that time? It wasn't just about that. Can you guys relate to that? Some no's? Maybe you will, though. Yeah. It wasn't a big moment. It was just something small. Maybe it was a comment somebody made, a tone they used, a situation that normally wouldn't even register. And yet this time, you snapped, you got defensive, you shut down, you said something you wish you hadn't, and you want to take it back. And maybe later, maybe hours later, maybe days later, you're sitting there thinking, why? Why did I react like that? Well, maybe you did, because it wasn't just about that moment. There was more to it. I remember hearing about this guy, you know, some of the guys might be able to relate to this, that he got into an argument about dishes. Not something big, not something life-changing, just dishes. His wife had asked him multiple times to load the dishwasher. But to load the dishwasher the proper way. Now, I don't know what that means in your home. I know what it means in my home. But there is a proper way of loading the dishwasher. And this argument, this discussion, it turned into a full-fledged argument. Not a disagreement, an argument. Tones escalate, voices raise, doors may be closed a little harder than they're necessarily closed to. And at some point, he realizes, I feel like we're not fighting about dishes here, are we? Because nobody ever has destroyed a relationship over plates and cups. And here's the thing, most of us have our own version of that. It's not the dishes. It's a text that didn't get answered. Somebody cutting you off while you're driving. A comment that somebody makes that hits a nerve. A situation that feels unfair. And suddenly, there's a reaction that feels bigger than the moment. And if we're honest, sometimes it even surprises us. You think, where did that come from? Because anger rarely starts on the surface. Because most of us don't walk around saying, I'm carrying hurt, I'm dealing with fear, I'm disappointed. We just feel it. And it comes out as anger. And if you're honest, it's not just that you reacted. It's that afterwards, something didn't sit right. You replay it. You justify it in your mind. You explain it. But at some point, there is this quiet realization that wasn't really about them. It wasn't really about that moment. Now, I ask you to just sit with that thought for a second. It's not an easy realization. When those moments happen, it means that it's not just about what they said. It's about what's going on in you. And that is uncomfortable. Because it means that there's something going on in you that you haven't dealt with yet. It reveals what's underneath. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about emotions. Week one, we talked about shame. That internal voice that says, something is wrong with me. Last week, Alex was here preaching, and he talked about envy and that comparison or that thought that says, why not me? And if we're being honest, when those things sit under the surface long enough, they don't just stay internal. They start to come out. And one of the ways that they come out is anger. And the thing about anger, it's harder to ignore. You can hide shame. You can mask envy. But anger, it leaks. It shows up in your tone, your reactions, your relationships. And sometimes it shows up in ways you wish it didn't. In this series on emotions, the goal is not to suppress our emotions or ignore them or pretend that they're not there. The goal for this series is to read our emotions, to read them honestly, to express them truthfully, and to allow Jesus to reshape them. So if you can follow along in the Bible or in your devices, I ask you to go to Ephesians 4. I'm going to start with Ephesians 26 and 27. Just one second. Excuse me. So verse 26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, a foothold is not a takeover. I just want to clarify. A foothold is not a takeover. A foothold is a small opening, something you leave unresolved that slowly starts to shape you more than you realize. And that's how anger works. The first thing we need to understand is this. Anger is not the problem. The Bible doesn't say, never be angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. And if we're being honest, this is where Jess and I have had arguments over the last 13 years of our marriage, is saying, you know, I was taught to say, like, no, you don't get angry, right? You don't get angry. So there's always a discussion and disagreement over where Jessica said, it's okay to be angry, it's okay to experience anger. In my mind, that's always, no, anger is not right. But the Bible doesn't say that anger is not right. Anger itself is not wrong, but what we do with it matters. And this is where a lot of us get confused, because we've been taught, like I said, I was taught that anger is bad, to avoid it, to push it down, to not want to express it. So what happens? We either explode, or then we pretend that we're not angry. Neither one of those things is healthy. Anger is often a response to something that feels wrong, a reaction to injustice, a signal that something matters, but underneath anger, there is usually something deeper. Sometimes anger isn't the root issue. It's the overflow. It's the unresolved shame, the ongoing comparisons, unmet expectations. Often, anger is what shows up. And if you only deal with the anger, you'll miss what God actually wants to heal. And sometimes we don't even realize that God wants to heal that part of our lives. Because life keeps moving. We never stop sometimes to think about these things. You don't pause long enough to ask, why did that bother me so much? Why do I react like that? Why does this keep happening to me? We just move on until the next moment comes. And then you tell yourself, I'm good, I moved on. It's fine. Until the exact same thing happens again. And suddenly you're like, why is this happening to me again? And then it happens again. When something deeper hasn't been dealt with, most of the time, we're not just reacting to what happened, we're reacting to what it reminds us of, what it touches, what's already been building. Anger is often hurt that hasn't been processed. Fear that hasn't been named. Expectations that haven't been met. Or control that's being threatened. I've seen this in my own life. There have been moments where I've reacted to something small and later realized it wasn't just about that. Something deeper was going on. Something I hadn't dealt with. Something I hadn't named. And instead of addressing it, it came out sideways. Sometimes you don't realize it in the moment. You're just thinking, I'm completely justified right now. Our anger makes us feel justified for what we're saying and what we're doing. But later you look back and think, I may have been right, but it was not the right way to do it. It was not handled the right way. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil a foothold. If anger isn't dealt with, it doesn't just disappear on its own. It settles, it builds, it compounds, and eventually, it comes out. Not always as anger, not always as a reaction. Sometimes it comes out as bitterness, sarcasm, distance, silence, or passive aggression. Have you ever been there? You know, sometimes we say, I'm fine. And everybody knows that you're not fine. When my wife says, I'm fine, I know I'm going to have to spend some time figuring out what happened. Ephesians 4, again, verse 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other. Paul doesn't say ignore it. He says get rid of it and replace it. Because if you don't deal with anger properly, it shapes how you live. It shapes how you speak. It shapes how you see people, how you respond, how you relate. Anger left unchecked, it doesn't just stay in moments. It starts to shape your mindset. You begin to expect the worst, assume the worst, respond before you even understand. It doesn't just affect your reactions, it affects your direction. You start to become more cynical, more reactive, more closed off. So why does Paul say, be kind, be compassionate, forgive? He says that because just as in Christ God forgave you, just as in Christ God forgave you. Not the version of you that has it all together, but the real you, the one who reacts, the one who gets it wrong, the one who struggles with all of this. That's who God has shown grace to. Think about that. The way that God has treated you with patience, with grace, with compassion. Even when you didn't deserve it, even when you didn't get it right, that's the standard Paul points us to. Not pressure, not performance, but transformation. This is the shift. You don't deal with anger by trying harder. You deal with anger by remembering, Remember how you've been treated by God, how you've been forgiven, how grace has been extended to you. Anger says something is wrong out there, but the gospel says, let me deal with what's happening in here. So I want to give you some invitations this morning, and I don't want to rush this, because this is where it actually becomes real for us. The first invitation for you this morning is to be honest about what's underneath. What is your anger pointing to? Because for most of us, anger is not the first emotion. It's the second or the third. So what's under it? Is it hurt? Is it something that somebody said? Is it something that somebody did? Something that hasn't been processed? Is it fear? Is it fear of losing control? Fear of being overlooked? Fear of things not turning out the way you hoped they would? Or is it disappointment? Something you expected? Something you hoped for? Something that didn't happen the way you thought it would? If we're being honest, sometimes we don't want to ask those questions because it's easier to stay angry. It's easier to stay angry than to become vulnerable. But if you never deal with what's underneath, you keep reacting on the surface. What is under the surface? The second invitation this morning, stop burying it. Because what you don't deal with doesn't disappear. It just changes form. You might not explode, but it shows up in other ways, in your tone, in your distance, in your patience or lack of patience. You start to notice you're quicker to react, slower to forgive, or more easily irritated. And over time, that becomes your pattern. And the danger is, you start to think, this is just who I am. But that's not who you are. That is what happens when anger goes unaddressed. Again, the main question is, what is under the surface? What is God trying to transform in you? It brings me to number three this morning. Bring it to God. And I don't mean bring the cleaned up version of it. I don't mean, God, I'm a little frustrated when you're actually angry. Because we all tend to do that, right? We're like, I'm just a little frustrated, but we really are angry. We need to recognize what we're feeling. We need to verbalize it. Bring it to God honestly. Because God already knows what's under the surface. You're not informing Him. You're inviting Him into it. Some of us need to learn to say, God, I'm angry. God, I don't understand this. This hurts. This wasn't fair. Not in rebellion, but in relationship with our Father. We want to be completely honest with our Father. Because if you don't bring it to God, you'll take it out on people. You'll take it out on those around you. Those are the people that are around you, closest to you, are the ones that know you the most. And those are the people we tend to take things out on the most. The fourth invitation this morning is, let God reshape it. Because the goal is not just to stop being angry. The goal is transformation. That's why Paul says, be kind, be compassionate, and forgive. Not because you're ignoring what happened, but because something deeper is happening in you. Forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't matter. It means it doesn't get to control you anymore. Compassion doesn't mean they were right. It means you're not going to let anger define you. Kindness doesn't mean you feel good about it. It means you're choosing to reflect something different. And that only happens when you remember that just as in Christ, God forgave you. If you don't deal with what's under the surface, it will keep coming to the surface. Because at some point you have to decide, am I going to keep reacting or am I going to start dealing with the things? Am I going to start carrying this or am I going to bring it to God? You don't have to keep reacting this way. You don't have to keep carrying all those things. You don't have to keep letting what's underneath control what comes out. You don't have to keep living this way. You don't need to react. You don't need to carry. Holding on to things that are shaping you more than you realize. God is not just trying to correct your behavior. He's inviting you into something deeper. God is not afraid of what's under the surface. But he loves you too much to leave it there. He loves you too much to leave it there. And he's waiting for your invitation to say, come, be in this with me. Be honest with your Father. Tell him how you feel. I want to close this morning with a prayer. So join me in prayer. God, Father, we come before you honestly this morning. For some of us, this is not just a message. It's personal. Because we can see it. We can see the reactions, the patterns, the things that keep coming up. We realize that we haven't always dealt with everything that needs to be dealt. We've justified it. We've buried it. We've carried it. And today you're inviting us to bring it into the light. So God, we do that now. For those of us carrying hurt, will you meet us there? For those of us carrying fear, would you meet us there? Would you give us peace? For those of us carrying disappointment, would you remind us that you're still at work? God, help us not to just manage our anger, but to understand it. And more than that, to transform it. Shape us to be people who reflect you. People who are kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Not because it's easy, but because we've been shown grace. And God, for the places where our anger has affected others, give us the courage to take responsibility, to make things right, to move towards healing. We don't want to keep living reactive. We don't want to keep carrying what's under the surface. We want to be changed. So we bring it to you, Lord. Not cleaned up, not filtered, but honestly. We trust you, Lord. We trust that you will meet us there. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray this in your Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.